This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibodeau. Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on a Thursday evening where we are just an hour and 6 minutes away from the first pitch in the Yankees elimination game.
Potential. Elimination.
I do have to tell you one thing,
Tampa.
Peter. Dominic on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
There are people in life that move the needle. You move the needle. He said, I just took the Bears plus 3.5 after Peter's pick.
Wow. You know, I got to tell you, I don't hate the pick.
His?
Yeah.
Well, how do you not hate the pick? You won a three-pointer the other way.
But he's going with odds. And you look right now, I'm 3-9. He's riding against me. It makes perfect sense. Now, I'm hoping tonight's the thing that turns it around. We look up and the Pats win by 35, and I go, oh, my God, I'm really back now.
The Pats.
And also,
Brady's on the Bucks now.
Oh, no. He's on the Bucks?
Yeah.
Oh, my. I bet the wrong team. No, well, think about it like this. Who's the team that saved me so far this season from basically laying an egg?
Packers.
And who's getting it done for me?
Rodgers.
Hey, that's right. Let it lie with the QBs, the guys you know.
You're going with the GOATs is what you're doing. You're going with the GOATs.
Go with the GOATs. That's what they always say. By the way, ENN tonight brought to you by Coors Seltzer. Coors Seltzer makes volunteering easy. Let's say you drink a seltzer while you're watching the game. That's volunteering. Each 12-pack sold will help restore 500 gallons of river water. Drink a seltzer. Help save the Hudson River. Details at CoorsSeltzer.com. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
You're an idiot. Your sister smells, and she's ugly.
How did we not think about that? What happened? Michael, it didn't cross your mind.
No, not a bit. Because I was making a very salient point at that point.
Wow,
and now it's turned into a thing that we'll laugh at for years.
That's going to be terrific. That's going to make a terrific run.
I got to tell you, I think you're talking about a top four seed in the Michael region.
Yeah, that's... For sure.
Can I hear it again, RJ?
Yeah, one more time.
You're an idiot. Your sister smells, and she's ugly.
Oh, my God. It could be a two seed.
It really could be
a two seed.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
That's wonderful.
Oh.
Okay, and let's say good evening to Don.
So I'm Robin Quivers, and now I'm Rhode Island.
I'm done with the show. It's too good right now.
Listen, we are in a zone. I hope everyone's sitting around the radio.
It's really it's in such a good place to walk away from.
Oh. It's you know what? I've always wanted to walk away on top.
Yeah. This might be the time.
It's very good right now.
It's really downhill from here.
Let's start off with a little Yankees. A-Rod was on FS1 last night and maybe as critical an opinion as we've heard from the former Yankee on the Yankees front office.
Game two was a mistake, and it was a mistake for about 20 different reasons. But the players start saying, like, Poppy, what are we doing? You start spending so much time trying to figure out how to outsmart the Ivy Leaguers over there. That's not your game. Don't play Jeopardy. Play baseball. Mm-hmm. Players win championships. We used to say, Poppy, and I'm sorry for a rant here, but we used to say, if the manager can stay out of the game, that'll be great. Now we have to say front offices have to stay out of the game. Frustrating.
You know, I was just thinking, if you don't know the post game on FS1 and realize that David Ortiz is on it, you might be thinking, who's Alex Rodriguez calling Poppy?
Yeah. Like, yeah, who is he so comfortable with and affectionate that he insists on calling them Poppy?
I will tell you this. So A-Rod said that, and I have not found anyone in baseball that said that it was a good move that can even explain it. Now, the Yankees hold firm that it was the right move to make, but everyone, even off the record where they could say what they want, they're texting me, what were they thinking? Why would they do that? Nobody seems to agree with what they did. It doesn't make sense. And what they did has the residual effect of now your season is in the hands of Jordan Montgomery. That's what you did. That's what you did with that move.
You're saying that's not how they planned it?
I will never understand it. What was that, Peter?
I said that's not how they planned it. Get to
well,
the
they had to know
game.
That this was an offshoot. But the only way it wasn't an offshoot is that they thought they were going to sweep the series.
Well, listen, let's just say for sake of argument, Montgomery is awful tonight, but the Yankees slugged their way to an 11-10 win.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cole's great tomorrow, and they win the series. If it is an analytically driven decision, and these guys are stubborn, wouldn't they try to do it again? Well, what would talk them off it? Maybe not. Maybe, I guess the decision wouldn't go with Hap, but do you still go with an opener?
Well, that's what's interesting, because when you have a manager that's in total lockstep with your front office, you're not fighting them on that. You believe
right.
in it. Boone believes in these moves. So, you know, when Cashman said yesterday, you know, Boone was the one who decided, I don't know about the veracity of that, but I will tell you this, Boone's not pushing back that much because Boone right. believes this stuff.
So listen, the mistake, I'm sure from the analytical world, the mistake was probably Hap was the wrong guy because he wasn't on board with it. But they're not going to all of a sudden have faith in Garcia. And if Montgomery spits the bit tonight, because I guess if Montgomery's great, he can be your game two option if you wanted to. But I'm telling you, I think they may do it again, just have a different pitcher besides Hap.
Well,
maybe it's Hap starts and you try to get a little bit more out of him. I don't know, but if the analytics are the analytics, Michael, they may still try to do this again.
Well, here's my biggest concern about what they did. And one of Aaron Boone's strength is his ability to communicate. You need a manager who can communicate these sorts of maneuvers to players and get a buy-in. He knew that Jay Hap didn't want to do it. Jay Hap told him. Jay Hap told the media afterward, I felt more comfortable starting. I told them that. And they still did it. That doesn't make sense.
Right.
Because if you don't get a full buy-in, you're mitigating whatever advantage you might have.
But
it doesn't make sense.
Right. So I bet they look at it as being a mistake because they went to Hap instead of somebody else.
But who else would they go to? Jordan Montgomery? Also a guy who doesn't relieve. How about this? How about letting Davey Garcia pitch?
At least
see. How about that?
How about you at least, can you at least see? What's the harm there? He'd already given up a home run, gotten out of the inning.
And the Yankees were tied 1-1.
So now let's say you wait and see what you do in the bottom half of the inning. The Yankees tie the game. It's 1-1. What's the harm of being like, let's bring the kid out one more time. Maybe he settled down. Because what if it just was a bonus? And by the way, what's the harm once you make that decision and going with Garcia that if you say, if we see him give up one hard hit or a walk, we'll pull him?
But the problem with that is, and I think Michael will agree, you can't have a pitcher continue to go up and down, warm up, sit down, warm up, sit down. Right? So if you're going to have the pitcher ready to come in, if disaster doesn't strike, you sit him down, and then disaster strikes the next inning, and then he gets back up again. You can't play
that
game.
How did Garcia give up the run?
He gave up a home run to a guy who's hit a home run off everybody,
right.
Rosarena.
Everybody's given up home runs.
So, and did they get up Hap right then?
Now, here's the problem.
That's the problem.
That
I think Hap was up, Michael, before anything happened, right?
He was. That's why the Yankees are not being totally forthright, because Boone is trying to sell that it wasn't necessarily going to be just one inning. Then why was Hap warming up one batter into the game before anybody did anything?
Right.
Before the kid threw 27 pitches in that inning. I don't buy it. The plan was one inning, bring in Hap, have them flip their lineup. I'm not going to buy any other excuse, because there was no need to take him out, even though it was a 27-pitch first inning. It was just one run, and it was a guy who was a home run against everybody.
That's really interesting, too, because what argument could you possibly make when a guy gets up on the second batter? That just doesn't happen.
Right, because he was, no matter what, if he struck out the side in the first inning, he was coming out.
Right. Anyways, we'll get back. I'm going to play you guys some Aaron Boone talking to Garrett Cole. And we'll hear from DJ LeMahieu in just a minute. But let's move to football for a moment. Golden Tate has spoken about the fight with Jalen Ramsey of the Rams on Sunday. He was asked whether he had any regrets. He said, next question. Then he tried to continue to change the subject and just get on to it being Dallas week. He said, judge took my word for it, and we moved on. That was kind of it. Look, all I can say is the account I got from a number of our players was that, and this is now Judge, there's a history, obviously, between them. There was a punch thrown. Golden was defending himself. I was told he wasn't the one who threw the punch. And then Tate, and back to Tate, who said, honestly, it's Dallas week. I don't even want to backpedal and discuss because I don't think it's going to help us this week. But he did say that he had a conversation with both his sister and Joe Judge. Obviously, his sister being relevant, if you don't know the story, because she was at the center of the issues with Jalen Ramsey. Otherwise, people are wondering, why do we care that he had a conversation with his sister? The Eagles' Darius Slay says the NFL should not have moved forward with the 2020 season. He was asked about the COVID-19 uptick across the league, and he said, my true opinion, I felt like we shouldn't have had it because of what was going on. It's a difficult time. Let's be honest. That was never an option.
No, and nor should it have been, right? I mean, same thing was said about baseball early on when the Cardinals and the Marlins were testing positive, and they got through it. It's going to be hard. But
if Darius Slay didn't have to play.
No.
As long as they gave the players an out, I mean, you have no kick coming. You don't have to play.
Well, but it wouldn't be to your advantage to not play.
But here's the deal, Peter.
There would be a
if
downside.
They didn't play, right? If the whole league didn't play, you weren't getting paid anyway. So if you believe that it wasn't safe to play, then don't play.
Yeah.
Then you would be right where you are if the league hadn't played.
And if it turns out, and it looks like all the evidence points to the fact that the Titans did not follow protocol, and that's why so many players got sick, well, then why is that an NFL problem? They put the protocols together. Everybody else has followed them. There have been some guys that have tested positive, but it's only gotten out of control with Tennessee. And hopefully, you know, it doesn't go beyond this week against Buffalo. They'll make up the game against the Steelers. They'll probably have to extend to a Week 18 to finish up Tennessee and Buffalo. But if guys follow the protocol, we should be okay.
Now, let's go to Patrick Mahomes, who, of course, we heard had very close interaction with Stephon Gilmore of the Patriots, who has tested positive. Here's Mahomes on what he thought when he heard that Gilmore tested positive for COVID-19.
I think you just have to trust in the process and the protocols that are set in place. I mean, obviously, knowing that I went up to him after the game and just gave him the high five like I've done my whole career, and not thinking about it, was a little bit of a mental lapse, just trying to show sportsmanship and stuff like that. But I feel like the protocols in place are good, and I just have to trust in that, wear my mask, do whatever Rick and them say, and then just trust in, we don't all know what's happening in this world this time, but just accept the challenge every single day of being in the best place I can be to be available for the team.
Sound alike. I told you, Gerrit Cole and Patrick Mahomes.
I'm glad you mentioned Gerrit Cole. Let's hear from Yankees manager Aaron Boone on the possibility of Gerrit Cole starting on short rest.
In terms of Gerrit starting, pitching on short rest, he has never done this before. What were those conversations like with him? Was he open to the idea?
Give me the ball.
Had to adjust.
Give me the ball.
Has he had to adjust the schedule in any way? Okay.
Well, that was a quick answer.
Who asked that question?
I don't know, but he's trying to finish it, and Boone said, just give me the ball. There's no other answer. If you're a real legitimate baseball player, that's the answer.
Especially,
I'm glad he said it.
Widely considered the best pitcher in baseball.
Yeah. Certainly in the conversation.
But I think it's a good question that got obscured because it's his throw day today. But you don't throw the way you would to go three innings today. So you say Cole likely is not going to pitch. But is there anything he's doing differently than he would if he wasn't going to pitch? Like, I'll ask you, Michael, would Cole do anything different other than instead of going out to the bullpen to throw, he's going to go out to the mound in San Diego and throw?
You mean tomorrow?
No, I mean today.
Oh. Yeah. The only thing different is you would do your throw day before the game. So if he's going to pitch today, he does his throw day in the bullpen and then comes into the game.
Right.
And if he doesn't come into the game today, then he'll do his throw day after. And if the Yankees lose, he'll do his throw day at home.
But that's it. That's the only difference in preparation. Instead of throwing before the game, he may have to throw three innings during the game. But there's nothing he has to prep otherwise. There's no difference between throwing in the bullpen before the game and on the mound in San Diego.
But the one thing that Boone obscured with his quick answer, I mean, Cole knew the possibility of starting game five. Maybe he threw yesterday in order to prepare to start on short rest. I'm not sure. There has to be a different. I mean, your throw day should not be the day before you pitch.
Right.
That's my point.
Now, here's the other question. His throw day would be in the bullpen. He wouldn't do it like under the stands or anything. He would do it on a mound in the bullpen. So in plain sight. So if this were Yankee Stadium and you were doing the show from Yankee Stadium, you'd be able to glance out and see that he's throwing the ball.
Yeah, if he did that yesterday, I don't know. He might have thrown on flat ground in the outfield, which players do. So there's got to be a little bit of a different prep to pitch on 3 days rest rather than normal.
But if we were out in San Diego and we looked and saw him in the bullpen throwing, that would tell you that he's not going to go today.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
As far as I know, and I haven't heard differently, the Jets are still attempting to field a team on Sunday. Joe Flacco will be quarterback, and Adam Gase, here's Coach Gase saying that they're trying to get things right.
I don't remember ever having this many guys coming to me, making suggestions, talking through about ways to get things fixed. You know, how can we address certain things? I mean, it's just been, the communication's been outstanding from our players.
And, you know, something that flew under the radar in our interview with Sam on Monday. Mm-hmm. When I asked him, did he watch the games on Sunday because they had the day off? And he said, yeah, I watch, and sometimes I see some things, and we'll make some suggestions of things we can do. So it sounds like he has some dialogue with the coach, that when we talk about, like, creativity, that he made it sound like that there are conversations. He can make suggestions, that he might be a little bit more a part of this offense than we give him credit for. And then there's Gase saying that players are making suggestions, so I guess he seems that he's opened it up to the floor. I guess you should, right? When you're 0-4.
Jets 7-point dogs at home against the Arizona Cardinals.
Now the Cardinals coming off a bad loss to Carolina, and Flacco doesn't give you kind of any indication that they're actually going to get better because of Flacco. Now they are going to be healthier, but because of the way we do it, Peter, we give the half point to the home team, so that goes to 6.5. That's one of the more attractive games on the slate for me.
Wait, no. You said it goes to the home team, right?
Yeah.
So 7.5.
Because the Arizona's favorite,
right,
it goes from 7 to 6.5. Rather than giving Arizona the extra half, you're giving
the Jets get the point. Right.
Right.
So it goes to 6.5.
Right. And because it's under a touchdown, I got to be honest with you, I don't want to tip my hand, but that might be the most attractive game. There's not a lot. I'm sorry. Michael can talk all he wants. I love the. You're not loving any of these games. These are tough. And even RJ Bell, you asked him the makeout pick, and he went right to like over-unders.
He did. He went with the Washington-Los Angeles over-under at 45.
And then he did pick the Colts, which I don't know.
There are a couple teams that I've just struggled to figure out, and the Colts are in there. And it's funny because the Colts beat the Bears last week, and the Bears are in that category too. Also, how good are the Rams?
Well, you heard RJ. It sounded like that was more of a Ram thing than a Giant thing. We're complimenting the Giants' defense. Is that a broken Ram offense right now? Now, it didn't look like that when they came back from 28-3 down against Buffalo.
That's what I'm saying.
They looked fine.
And, you know, it'll be interesting. Obviously, I'll be watching them this weekend because they're in Washington. So I'll get a look. My best gauge for what a team is, it obviously is watching them play Washington, because I know exactly who Washington is. Exactly. So I'll know this week whether the Rams are more like the team they were 2 years ago or the team they were last year, because that's the part that's been a little confusing.
Another game that's interesting to me, Peter, I don't know if you looked at this one.
Go ahead.
Dolphins getting 9.5 in San Francisco.
Yep.
You know, Niners didn't look great against the Eagles at home. They haven't played well at home. Dolphins coming off a huge win on a Thursday night against Jacksonville. Little extra. You know, I don't know what to think about the Dolphins, but...
No, the Dolphins played this past Sunday, didn't they?
Right, they had to, yeah, because the Jets played on Thursday. So who did they play last week? I don't even remember.
This week they lost. They played a much better team and came up short, but they fought.
That's the way they've been all year. They didn't get blown out against Buffalo. They didn't get blown out against New England. God, I got to look that up. Who did they play? I think Michael picked against them.
I'm pretty sure Michael picked against Miami. Or you did. One of you picked against Miami.
My brain's fried. I got twin brain.
And they're going with Fitzpatrick again. Not making the move to Tua quite yet. So,
you figure that's inevitable, right?
I would think so. I just don't understand the purpose. They lost to the Seahawks by 8.
Oh, that's right. I picked that game and got it right.
And you
that's
got it
what
right.
It was.
But they made it pretty interesting. You know,
it was never really in doubt.
The cover
the
was in doubt.
7.5.
I thought the cover was in doubt for a little while, didn't they?
No, the cover was in doubt, but the game really wasn't. But that's still, that game was in Miami too. So I'm just saying, it's a tough week. So
it
you
is.
Know what? If you're feeling tonight's game, Peter, you have an obligation to go with it.
I agree, because there may not be a lot of options as the week goes on. Let's go back to the Yankees. We're just
please.
45 minutes away from first pitch. Let's hear from DJ LeMahieu on the pressure facing them tonight.
I mean, that's nothing new for us. Part of being a Yankee is dealt with it all year. We play Sunday night almost every week. Been in the playoffs. You know, I've been in the playoffs with the Yankees last year and this year. And we're definitely, I mean, like I said, we're focused. We know it's a big game, but we're focused.
Now they've been down this road before.
Big game indeed.
Facing elimination quite a bit over the last few years. They were down 3-1 to the Astros. Won a game, lost a game. I do agree with Tex, though. I think they win tonight, they win the series.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because he got Cole. And it's a little bit of a different situation. But tonight, you know, it's tough because of Montgomery. But listen, they're going with an opener. Their bullpen has been going every single day. Hey, the one thing that you could be disappointed as a Yankee fan, I think they got exposed in this series, where I think it's going to be very difficult for this team to win a championship. But they can win this series still. But it doesn't correct, even winning the next two games, Peter, does not correct the ills of how are you beating Houston in a best of 7 when you've got this starting pitching problem. And if you're fortunate enough to get by them in the World Series, you're going to take on a Brave team or a Dodger team that can flat out hit. So if you're struggling to get enough pitching to win a 5-game series, what's it going to be like in a 7-game series against teams that are as good, if not better, than the Rays are? Because right now, this Astro team, I'm watching this game against the A's, you know, they're bashing the ball all over the place. And they got a chip on their shoulder, so...
Nah, you got to get it going. This path is not an easy one, but boy, would it be fun if next week. The way I look at it is this: I'm either dialed in next week on a Yankees Astros rematch, or I'm basically checked out on baseball for the rest of the year.
But think about it, Peter. How much we need the Yankees? You can hate the Yankees all you want. There are plenty of people that do. Your football stories locally have been Flacco playing in place of Darnold because of injury.
God, that's when you
and
say it that way.
Golden Tate defending his sister's honor.
That's the biggest stories we have in local football, correct?
So that's what we got. The NBA Finals are probably going to be over on Friday. You know, so this is what we got, man.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's hear from J.J. Watt, who was asked about the supposed altercation between him and Bill O'Brien before Bill O'Brien was sent packing.
I'm not going to talk about what happened in practice or what conversations were had or whatever it may be. The situation is what the situation is, and we right now have a fresh start, and we had a good practice today, and we're looking forward to Jacksonville.
Right answer. What are you going to say?
All class. He's such a classy guy.
Yeah, I think that's the right way to handle it. 100%.
What not to like about J.J. Watt?
I mean, you could get into the football part of it, of him over the last few years kind of being disappointed and oft injured, but no, as a person and
as a person, he's carried himself well. He's funny on Saturday Night Live.
His charity work is incredible.
He could have, and no one would have blamed him. Could have gave detail on the O'Brien stuff. Listen, O'Brien got fired. He won, right? So he could have hung on the rim about it. No, it's over. We're moving on. You know, Bill O'Brien got out light, right? They're 0-4. JJ's got to stay here and he's got to figure this out. So good job out of him.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.